Music, industry talk, stories, equipment and more. We are Crossfader and this is Off the Record. Off the Record. Off the Record.
Yes, gang. Welcome back to this week's Off the Record DJ podcast. And we're going to get straight into it. We've got a lot to talk about today. We've also got a special guest involved as well. It's me, Lawrence James. Jamie is here.
Yep.
And we've got a special guest. And he's not even a guest anymore. He's part of the team. Yeah. So welcome, Blakey.
Hi.
Wait, where's the clap? Is it this one? Yes. Blakey is in the building. And yeah, I said special guest, but we mentioned it last week on podcast. He's part of the Crossfader team now, and he's been in the studio. This studio is literally about to be taken down. We're still not in seats. I know people are really rooting for us to have seats.
It will be soon.
Honestly, I think...
There's a podcast table in the box over there.
We think 2 weeks. We said it last week. Basically, this whole room where we're at now, if you're watching, it's being torn down to shreds. We're having a whole new like club booth set up. We're having a whole new podcast area set up, and it's going to be like, what's it, industrial?
Like, it's like a shipping container.
A shipping container.
Imagine a bougie
shipping container. So we'll be sat down. But yeah, I want to welcome Blakey to the podcast. We've chatted to you before, like, I don't know, 2 years ago we came to London.
It was just before COVID, actually.
Was it?
Yeah, oh my God. 4 years.
No way.
Yeah, I know.
This podcast has allowed to go this long. Okay, 4 years ago we went to speak to you and... when you were in charge of Serato UK, basically, and you were with them for how long?
6.5 years.
Ages. Yeah. And then stupidly decided to let you go, and we thought, let's get this guy in. let's give the listeners who don't know a bit of background about you and what you did with Serato and your life before as a DMC champ and all that kind of stuff, if you want.
Yeah, cool. So, yeah, as I said, I was at Serato for 6.5 years, so I headed up the European Artist Relations, running their London studio. So Serato have got a LA studio, New York studio, obviously HQ in Auckland, and then I ran the London studio until they decided to close that. And going way back to how I actually started and kind of got my first break, really, this was in 2004. I entered and won the UK DMC Championships in 2004, which is 20 years ago this year.
Speaking of 20 years ago, got a 20 years ago game later, but carry on.
Okay, great. So I won that after entering a few times. I first entered it when I was 15 and I finally won it when I was 19.
Nice.
And then from that point, everything kind of came off the back of that. Started tour DJing for years.
Yep.
That was my living for a while. Did a radio show on BBC One Extra. Mm-hmm. Then I got a job doing the scratches for DJ Hero 1 and 2, the video game.
Iconic.
Such a cool thing to do.
So cool.
Yeah. Imagine that being your job.
So cool. So if you don't know what DJ Hero, because it wasn't as big, but Guitar Hero, most people know what Guitar Hero is.
Yeah.
There was a DJ version of that, which, you know, if you were a DJ at that time, it was unreal.
Yeah, they put an awful lot of money behind
big
it as well.
Big time, yeah.
An awful lot of money.
Yeah.
Because like you say, Guitar Hero was this cultural phenomenon, especially in the US. Mm. So they decided to do a DJ version.
Mm. Who else was involved in that like process?
DJ wise,
yes,
there was a lot of people. So DJ AM was involved, and sadly he passed away during the making of the game.
Crazy.
We had Grandmaster Flash involved, Grand Wizard Theodore. We had Scratch Perverts. Deadmau5 had a character in the game. A-Track was involved.
Unreal.
There was a lot of people involved.
Yeah, yeah.
And the game was well received by critics, but it sold like over 1 million copies, which sounds good, but compared to what they wanted it to do, like in terms of Guitar Hero numbers.
Do you not think it came at the wrong time? If they made it now, it was too early. Guitar Hero was what it was now, and they made DJ Hero now with the popularity of DJing, it would just be a total different ballgame.
Yeah, I think so. It's interesting as well because really the reason it failed is not because of the game or the fact that it was a DJ game, it was the fact that they released it just at a time when people started to get really bored of those music peripheral games. People just got bored of them.
Then
they released DJ Hero and it was just bad timing on that front. So they kind of oversaturated the market themselves and then killed it off. But I mean that was 14, 15, 16 years ago now. So yeah, it's time for someone to do that again.
Yeah. 100%.
And, you know, I'm sure at some point there'll be another big budget DJ game, hopefully.
Let's go. Yeah. You would have thought, like, just with like the evolution of social media and things like that, the way you can make it look and interact.
It's a different world now.
Oh, there's like the social aspect of it. It's just like, like you say, like, it's just the wrong time. It was the wrong time for it. But so yeah, coming back to a bit closer to current time, then you was involved with Serato. What were kind of your job role within Serato, like day to day?
It's quite a lot of different things, really. Yeah. So it was an interesting role because it had so many different, you know, facets to it. Mm. But mostly it was maintaining relationships with all of the DJs in the UK and Europe who use Serato. And that involved mostly helping them out when things went wrong and teaching them different software features.
Yes.
Because, you know, Serato updates all the time and making sure that DJs are up to speed with different updates as well. And there's lots of things that come with using a computer to DJ, helping people out with making sure they're on the right software, helping people out with driver problems.
Yeah.
And then aside from that, making content, representing Serato at different events, there was quite a lot to it. So nice. Support team member, marketing team member, that kind of thing.
Yep. And then, so Serato now has closed down. So that's
Serato UK.
UK, has, sorry. Yeah.
Not breaking news.
Not breaking news, no. UK has closed down. So it's been great to have you in these last few weeks. Just a bit of sort of behind the scenes of what you're doing with us. We've got some exciting sort of DJ courses that we've been built out that are going to be launching very, very soon. And you're sort of in the process of that, doing that now for us.
Yeah.
So we are sort of launching an open format course for open format, like multi-genre DJing. You've been recording the course like this week, last few weeks. Yep. What kind of thing is going to be sort of in that course?
So it teaches DJs how to play a wide berth of music.
Yeah.
Confidently and competently. Yeah. So how to mix between genres and make it gel together so that it actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Building routines, transitioning between different BPMs, and then there's some thematic mixing, so birthday mixing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Valentine's, that kind of thing.
That kind of thing.
Halloween, birthday.
And I think it's a super important one, and one we wanted to sort of push for a while, because anyone that gets into DJing, it's kind of the main route is, right, you get inspired by someone or you're obsessed with like a genre and you get in there.
Yeah.
But you soon find out that you might pick a lane that's a bit too niche and you need to figure out a way to like earn money DJing. So the best way to sort of start earning income or getting a steady wage is to sort of know all kinds of genres and be flexible with what you can play, because there's just more opportunities early on when you say yes to everything. There's a lot more sort of open format gigs at, you know, bars, restaurants, lounges, you know, private events, weddings, that kind of thing, as opposed to, I just want to be, you know, a techno DJ in a techno club. It's very niche. So to get experience, to get your foot in the door, learning different genres and different ways to mix. And not only that, taking that to, recording mixes and putting their mixes out, and then social media, that all plays into it as well. So there's a lot to get stuck into. So yeah, it's been amazing to have you in, and watching your scratches are quite a joy. It's quite a fun thing. So yeah, a lot of content to come from Blakey. 100%
excited. I'm so excited. I've seen some of these routines that are being built, and it's incredible.
They are naughty. Right, guys, this week we want to talk about, by the way, we are live as usual. Hello, friends around the world.
Yep,
we're live YouTube, Twitch, Facebook.
Everyone knows the drill now. You know, saying hi.
The guys are here.
We've got India locked in.
Oh, come
on. We've got Costa Rica locked in.
Costa Rica.
I want to go back to Costa
Rica. Is that where you went?
It's where I went.
Where did you go in Costa Rica?
It's got a bit of my heart. I went all over. Oh, we kind of traveled around quite a bit, but it was, we went for a full month.
Did you see that guy in the chat?
I don't think I did.
Listen, guys, we love to get your questions answered. So anything that's on your mind, DJ related, put your questions in the question box. Jamie will favorite them throughout this podcast. Join in the discussion as well. We're going to talk about friendships within the DJ industry. We're going to talk about building a network and what they mean. And I want to know what in your area the DJ scene is like. Is it friendly? Is it cutthroat? Is it a bit in between? Is it small? Is it big? Are you trying to get your foot in the door? I want to know like what it's like in your area and your scene, because it is varied city to city, and we have got first-hand experience of that. So I want to talk a few key reasons why it's quite a good idea to get DJ friendships early on while you're sort of getting your foot in the door or starting out as a DJ. So the first one is it's quite a lonely, it can be quite a lonely job DJing, right? It seems social, right? But when you're in there in the booth on your own, if you're doing 4 or 5 nights a week, you're generally traveling on your own. You're in the booth on your own for a few hours and then you drive home on your own.
It's very true.
So trying to be creative on your own, very difficult. So if you can sort of, because what's going to happen when you start DJing is you're going to find there's a lot of DJs, especially where we are, it's quite maybe a niche area. There might not be a lot of work. So you're all might be competing for the same gigs.
Yeah.
The problem is, and I fell into it as well when I started out, is you start off as being competitive because you want the gigs. You want the gigs that everyone's doing, the good ones. So you're trying to maybe one-up somebody, or you're trying to make a better routine for socials, or, you know, you're trying to speak to these people. And the older you get and the wiser you get, you realize it might not be the best way to go about it. It's probably the best thing is to sort of create connections that lasts forever. And I think the main thing to come out of it is sort of creativity. If you've got a few DJ friends.
There's so much I learned from being in the club and being close to other DJs and making friends with them and then seeing how they DJed and, you know, picking bits of that and thinking, oh, I never thought of that before. And at the end of the day, it's a case of you sharing with each other, and you learn from watching and being around other DJs. So creating a friendship with them is the best way into that, because then, you know, ultimately when you do copy some of those things. Which it's at the end of the day, there's a bank of techniques that you're going to discover. You can then apply it in different creative ways and use different music, but there is a bank of techniques that you're going to discover. And when you copy some of that stuff to practice it, that friend is going to be hopefully a friend and not be like, what are you doing? Why are you just copying my set? You know, if you're open with them and saying, look, I really love your style, I'm trying to incorporate some of it into my set so I can learn and adapt. And it's just a good way to kind of be open with people in your circle, in your scene, and learn from them as well. I did that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
I was fortunate enough to like have a mentor who was a friend as well. And that is such an important part of it, because if you can get someone who's sort of been there, done it, you can sort of fast track your way to some like silly mistakes you might make. You're still going to make obviously mistakes if you're a beginner. But yeah, it goes into that sort of learning and development and skills. If you're sort of watching YouTube and then trying to learn a mix and then uploading a mix, you're never getting that feedback from someone or like that real, you know, a real friend who's like, yeah, that's shit. Do you know what I mean? Or you need to do better, or that, don't play the same set twice. I think that if you can like approach it that way, as opposed to looking at another DJ as like a competition, you can still have a healthy competition.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? If there's one gig and you're both up for it, you can still have that. You know, if you're putting a mix on socials, you know, you can test to see, you know, who gets most engagement or whatever. Yeah. But that's pushing your skills, isn't it?
Yeah.
As opposed to like being, you know what, I don't like this guy. I'm going to go speak to the promoter behind his back. I definitely haven't done that before.
And honestly, a lot of my gigs came from other DJs who were friends of mine who went, any chance you could cover this gig? This gig for a good promoter friend of mine? He's looking for a good DJ. I think you'd be right for it. Because they can't do it. They've already got a gig. They've already got a residency they're happy with, but they've been offered something. So they just look at their network and go, I know the person for you. And by doing that, you know, you're passing this energy along to the next DJ, to the next person, and bringing people through. And then as long as you remember that and then repay that forward, it's just creating a good vibe and a good energy that's going to pay back dividends.
I'd be interested to get your take on this, Blakey, because from my experience, all DJs that have come to Leeds, so from like Manchester, London, Birmingham, can't believe how sort of tight-knit Leeds DJs are.
Right.
It's become a very big thing from people outside of where we are. And I don't know what it is, but we've always been, you know, I've been in this game for like 15 years and I've never had a beef with any single DJ. And I've passed gigs off like since I started. I've run nights and then give DJs other gigs and that kind of thing, and I've always been that way, and I've always felt that way from other DJs as well. And there's such a good circle where we are in particular, where everyone just passes each other gigs. Like on a weekend you'll be in a group chat and there'll be gigs going, they'll be passing it around, you'll be tagging people. Is that similar to what where you experience in like down south in London, or is it a bit different?
So I'm part of a couple of WhatsApp groups that where there's just tons of DJs, working DJs, and there's always people needing cover.
Nice.
And that kind of thing in those groups. And obviously, like I'm from London, I grew up in London, I came up in the London scene. I would imagine that the Leeds scene is just a lot smaller because geographically it's much smaller, right?
Yeah, it is.
But there does seem to be quite a lot of that in London, which is great.
Nice.
Like I actually come from obviously with the DMC background, I come from a turntablist background. So you were talking earlier about healthy competition between DJs and being inspired. That is precisely what I experienced growing up, because I started doing turntablism when I was like 15, 16. Well, earlier than that, I started entering competitions when I was like 15, 16. And we had this thing where every weekend we would all meet up and we would perform the routines that we'd been working on to each other. And it was this perfect balance between I want to be better than you guys and outdo you, because I'm literally going to be competing against you in battles. But also I'm showing you this and I want to learn what you've got to teach me.
Big time.
I want to see what you've got, because the really interesting thing about turntablism is everyone has their own unique style. And like I could listen to a turntablist scratching back then, and I would know who it was purely from listening to their cuts. Everyone has their own unique style. They have their own unique taste in music selection, the songs they use for their routines.
So
I do think that healthy competition is a really important thing to make you better as a DJ.
There's also one of the biggest ones, which is, I guess, not talked about enough, is like just basic like emotional support. Like I said in the beginning, like quite a lonely, if you're a hustling working DJ 5-6 nights a week. I remember over sort of Christmas time, I seen a few of my sort of DJ friends posting online, just talking about burnout and like too much, and especially like over that Christmas period when you're drinking a lot. You know, you're DJing a lot. There's a lot of gigs to go, but you're burning the candle at both ends. And like a few of them were just like, look, I'm burned out. I'm not DJing for a month, blah, blah, blah. And there was just so much support from other DJs, like in comments and stuff. And then you message them or you ring them and just check on them and make sure you're okay. And like people, if you're not a DJ, it's so hard to understand. I was writing a newsletter this week and I was like, I played four sets back to back to back last week for the first time. I've not DJed for 6 weeks, and then I played four sets in a row. And my body was just out of whack. My sleep was so bad. My diet went to shit. It was just all over the place. And then I was like, but I'd do it again next week because I loved it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
But then it does catch up with you.
Yeah, it does. So it's this hard thing of like, it's, you know, it's your passion and it's the thing you love, but it is very, it's just an odd job.
Yeah, I would say what you're talking there about DJs being burnt out after DJing too much. In my opinion, the best thing to do in that situation, take one or maybe two nights off go and see another DJ.
Yeah.
Because I actually haven't been the best at taking that advice in the past, but I have done it. I remember I went and saw DJ Cable do a set on a night where I wasn't DJing. And I've known Cable for a long time, but I actually realized that I haven't seen him DJ for many, many years. And he was fantastic. And it really inspired me watching him play. Like in a club setting, I hadn't seen him play for years. Yep. So the music that I, like the style of music and the type of music that I saw him play the time before was totally different to what I saw him do this time. And it inspired the hell out of me.
Amazing.
So I reckon that is a good thing to do when you're feeling burnt out, when you feel like, you know, I'm working from the same few crates, I need to freshen things up, go and see someone play.
And I think it's that thing of that inspiration is invaluable, and we do overlook it. Just like in any other industry, like research is a big part of any other industry. And it's the same for DJing. Like going out there and watching other DJs is ultimately research for you to then better yourself. Yeah. So just look at it as that research segment of you as a business, as you as your own little industry.
I can attest to that as well. Over Christmas, again, I was doing quite a lot of gigs, and I was like, I got offered to do sort of over build up to Christmas, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to have this off. And I went to Joe LaBelle, who's been on the podcast, went to his event in Leeds, and loads of DJs were there. It was great networking. It was great to see other DJ sets, and it was just like, after that, I was like, I want a DJ now.
You can always count on Joe LaBelle to inspire you. That guy is very good.
Shall I read a few experiences out from people that are watching?
Yeah, what are your experiences? Let us know, guys. If you've got any questions as well.
FM on YouTube said, I moved from Toronto to a small town. It's hard to break into this smaller market because people hate change here.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Well, look, it's hard to break into any market, no matter big or small. The trick, not the trick, but you have to be adaptive. And what I said earlier about being an open format DJ, you may have to sort of open the doors of what you're willing to do initially, just to get some traction. It may be a restaurant.
Look at it as a challenge. I'm going to play this music that I hate but they love, and then I'm going to win them over. Yeah. And I'm going to do something with that music creatively. To inject something of me as a DJ into what they enjoy. And that's that hybrid of you bringing the audience into your world, you know, the people that are stuck in their ways, but bringing them into your world by, you know, throwing a bone, saying, here's the music you love, but listen to what I can do with it. Yeah. And then you can start introducing more and more of what you love, because you've got them on your side then. Yeah. But if you're trying to force another opinion, it's like when, if you're not religious and you're walking through the town centre and there's preachers, and you're like, why are they trying to force me to become religious? Why are they preaching at me? I'm not going to, you know, and you push back and you're like, you know, that's not me. Or, you know, you might have, there's so many different instances where that is the case. You can't force people to change their opinion without doing something.
Yeah, plus, if you're not in clubs, you've got all the time to build a social profile. And, you know, if you spend all your time, literally, you know, DJing, you get an experience, you're recording, you're getting over that fear of, like, live practice, and then you can build up a following, and then that is your portfolio, it's your CV to send out to people. And, yeah, clubs like familiarity. If something's going well, there's no reason to change it. But they also need different contact, different themes, different content. And if you can build up a following of, you know, 5K, 10K, whatever it is online, you know, they'll put you on just for numbers, literally. So if you don't have the time where you're in a club doing the work, you can spend the time elsewhere on something really good.
Yeah, sure, have some more.
Yeah.
GB said, hey, Crossfader, I'm a young male DJ. I'm 19 years old and I've been DJing for 11 years. Is it bad if I collab with female DJs and artists because I've been discriminated by male DJs? No not bad.
Crack on.
No. And you don't need our advice for that.
You don't need our advice.
Yeah.
Crack
you
on.
Just go with it. This is a long one, so bear with me.
Let's go.
I don't know if it'll fit on the screen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The problem is the majority is cutthroat. I've made great friends, but also since doing the production and growing and getting signed, I've had a lot of backstabbing. I find people in this industry want you to be the same level as them. But once you get higher, you lose. Well, let me add it back to the screen. Once you get higher, you lose a lot of friends because of either jealousy or they don't support what you make. So they slate you.
Right. You can't control other people's mentality. That's a fact.
Yeah.
You can only control your own mentality. So, you know, you don't want to surround yourself with negative people. If people are talking shit about you, there's not much you can do about that.
No.
That's their problem. All you can focus on is turning up, being professional, being, you know, kind, being yourself, you know, putting effort into your socials if that's your thing, putting effort into your craft, into new skills, and just being, if you're a good person and professional all around, that will go further than these people who are trying to talk shit.
Yeah,
people don't like them. And but it might be all right if somebody's being snaky and the event's going well. It might be all right for a while. As soon as that event starts to go, the personality starts to like come to the top and you start thinking, actually, I don't like even working with this guy. The club's going to shit. I don't like this guy. Let's fucking bring in somebody who's professional.
Yeah. It is a weird one, isn't it? But 100%. I think you can't, like you say, it's just, you can't control other people.
No.
And it's their problem, not yours.
It's theirs. And there's no, it's this paradox. There's no one thing without the other. So the bigger you get, the more people will hate you. You can't live in the middle. You're not gonna be the biggest artist in the world and everyone love you. It's literally, it can't happen like that. The better you do, bad comments you'll get. Go look at our YouTube.
Yeah, half this is exactly comments, what Veressa said. People talking smack is still publicity.
It's publicity. The more people talk smack about you, you should wear it as a badge of honour. Yeah. Like, I love seeing negative comments. It's hilarious. Jamie, should we get some Reddit up?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
Reddit drama, it's all over the place. People arguing, fighting, all up in your face. Reddit drama. Reddit drama.
It was the first time Blakey had seen the Reddit drama skit. For anyone watching the video,
do watch this if you can, just for the visuals, not for us standing.
That's awkward.
So I was writing a newsletter about. I said I had like 4 gigs last week, and I found myself. I realised that I was looking for new music, and I realised that I wasn't sort of listening to as much new music as I used to. I'm surrounded by music a lot, and I tend to, in my own like leisure time, like commuting or at the gym, I'll tend to listen to like an audiobook or a podcast because I think it's a bit overwhelming. And then I found this almost like exact carbon copy on Reddit. So I thought I'd read it out and we can have a chat about it. So is anyone else getting tired of listening to music in general and only really do it as part of DJing? So I'm more curious to see what others think because my DJ friends think I'm nuts. I've been DJing consistently for the past 10 years, two to three gigs a week. And I still love doing it. No plans to stop anytime soon. However, one toll the job has taken on is that, one toll the job has taken on me is that because I'm so constantly surrounded by music, I spend so much time actively listening for the purpose of screening songs for my sets. I've gotten to the point where music in any context outside of DJing is basically noise and I derive no pleasure from listening to it, even with genres I like playing out. I used to love going to concerts and festivals, but I now find them excruciatingly boring unless I'm either DJing them or analysing another DJ's set to help improve my own skills. So if I'm driving, working a day job, at the gym or whatever, I basically never listen to music and instead opt for a podcast or audiobook. I'll even put in earplugs to embrace silence. Can't get that. if I really need to focus on something, none of my other DJ friends seem to feel this way. So I'm curious to know if anyone experiences the similar thing.
Sounds like burnout.
It does sound music a bit like burnout. Musical burnout. Yeah.
I had the same thing.
Yeah.
When I was working six nights a week, I was like, I don't want to hear music.
No, especially that drive. We've talked about
keep it silent.
We've talked about the drive home a lot on this podcast. We've talked about driving home after a gig, like in silence or talking.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's normal, right?
Yeah.
But you know, there's always whenever I get back in the car the next day to go do whatever, I always want to hear some music
right.
that I love.
Nice.
Right. Always.
So you're still in your own casual day to day listening to that new music. Or are you just are you listening to music you love? Two different things. This is what I'm trying to separate the two. We're like, you know, an old Kanye album which I listen to, or brand new.
I try and do both. Like I use Apple Music primarily and the suggested artists feature of that, same as Spotify, is very good. And I have...
You will like Algorithm's new update then.
You will.
I haven't tried it.
No, it's good.
The car is the place where I listen to new music. I don't listen to as much at home, really. It's always in the car. And I have playlists that I'm constantly adding to. And it's always music that I'm really into. It's always new music. And I'm always looking forward to, like, the car journey home today. Yep. I can't wait to go and listen to the music I've added to that. So that's how I do it personally.
Yeah. I want to ask a question to everyone watching live. Like, how much... new music, like every month broadly, do you add to your DJ set? So do you add any music at all? Do you add like 5 to 10, you know, 15 tracks? Do you add like 50% of new music every month, or are you trying to play something new like all the time? Let me know in the comments. But yeah, I was thinking this. So I was planning the sets for the weekend, and I always have new music, but they tend to be edits of songs that I know. Mm-hmm. So, and I know that will go off. So I don't want to play the same, you know, big club tune. I'll find an edit of it. It's a bit different, you know. So I've got loads of new music here. I had like, you know, 50 new tracks to play, but they're all songs that I would play. You know, they're all recognized songs that are, you know, big floor fillers. Now I know there's a difference between the underground scene, middle of the road, and a commercial scene, totally. But I was curious to see, like, I put in like 10 tracks that I've never played before that are new, that are hot on like Beatport and all that kind of thing. Played them. And then I played the edits and stuff that I knew would go off. And just by my sort of own reaction, the ones that I knew would go off still went off more than the new ones. So I'm just wondering how important it is to sort of keep up to date and keep playing new tracks. I'd love to know people's thoughts in the comments.
Yeah, so Veressa said, wow, I can actually relate. I like listening to my select tunes that are probably 10 years plus old. Apart from that, everything is eh.
Yeah.
Keith said, I never like to listen to music before a set, just want quiet. When I go to hear other DJs, I just like to Shazam so I can get some new songs.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. Like music discovery, when like you were saying, going and seeing a DJ and being like, what is this?
you know? Never would have thought to play this.
Never would have thought, yeah. And there's always a song where you like, you might have like a couple of songs that you're like, you don't play them. And then you go and see and somebody plays them out and they go off. And you're like, why am I not playing that?
The last time this happened to me, actually, I do a regular night in London alongside three other DJs, Santero, DJP, and then we always have one guest and myself. And the guest a few months ago was CJ Beats, one of the best DJs in the country.
Incredible.
Now, it's actually the first time I've seen him DJ for a long time.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe what he was playing.
Yeah.
Stuff that I would never have thought to play.
Nice.
And it smashed it.
Yeah, that must have been amazing.
Yeah, he played, he was playing like, he, at one point he played a like an EDM remix of The Killers.
Yeah.
On paper, I would have thought yeah, that you're would like, work. Nah. But the way he did it,
right.
The way he got to it, the way he came out of it, the crowd were going absolutely wild. It was great.
Yeah, I think that's a that's actually a good point. I think you download so many tracks and you're like, you might not think about how you sort of build there. And that comes from experience for sure. You can't just go and, you can't go and play like a random selection of songs, but how you get there and how you intertwine them. My set is super structured like that. It's like rolling hills. It's like up and down and up and down, and then, you know, trying to peak at the right time and not peak too early. Because if you peak too early, a DJ set, it's like the worst thing. Yeah. You know, people are leaving too early. It's like a nightmare. It's a great point.
Someone said here, which is one of my favorite tips, is that for every 4 known hits, 1 to 2 new songs. And it's a good approach, like for you to integrate music that you love into the set that they love, is to play songs that they love, but then figure out creative ways of introducing stuff that you know that they haven't heard, but creating mashups with unique like styles of music that you enjoy. And that's where a lot of creativity can come from, is by having these two inputs. You've got your own input of the music that you love, and then you've got the input of the crowd, the music that they love, and how you as a DJ, your job is, how do I combine those two inputs to create an amazing output for us all to enjoy? So I think that's just really good point.
Yeah, I love that. I love going on SoundCloud and typing in like dub, finding loads of like, you know, garagey dub edits with no vocals or anything like that, and then being like, right, how can I get away with this at my event, which, you know, will usually be like throwing on a Skepta vocal or a Drake vocal or something like that, and then I'll have the normal version and I'll play that a couple of weeks, and then I'll see if I could just get away with the dub and just experiment with it. But yeah, I think it's a great sort of tool, or it's a great thing to start thinking about as a DJ, is finding a way to introduce new genres, new elements, new vocals. And there's so many tools now, like stems and stuff like that, just for you to be able to create on the fly is amazing.
Yeah. Do you know what used to be horrible when, before I had access to record pools, which are amazing because you can go and get all of the music that you don't necessarily enjoy, but for like one monthly fee, you can download as much as you want. But before that, having to spend per song, and I used to have to buy songs that I would never listen to, but I'm spending money on it for everyone else to listen to, that was a bit wounding. Thankfully now, go check out record pools, because you can get a lot of that music and you don't have to feel like, you know, it's already curated as well in a lot of record pools. You know, they will put together playlists and groups of songs. So like, here are all the big hitters of February. And you're like, great, thank you. That ticks the box for me from just a general, you know, bar environment. I can serve that audience well. Then you can spend the time focusing on finding some of those gems, those remixes, those more obscure things that you want to introduce into your set to make it more unique.
Yes, guys, if you've got any more questions, we're going to get to them at the end. So if you've got any questions about anything,
I'm favouriting them. Jamie's, I see you don't have to keep...
We're going
to
get back to them.
People think we're ignoring them. They send about five versions of the same question.
We're going to get into a little game. Let's go. Let me just check the sound's working. It is. Right. Blakey, you've not played this game before. It's Crossfaders Chart Challenge. Jamie, do you want to get 1 to 7 up? Basically, it's like blind ranking. So we're going to pick a theme, and then I'm going to play 7 tracks in 7 random order. You and Jamie are going to pick where it goes in the chart, and then once it's in the chart, it cannot be moved.
Is there okay. What's the theme?
The theme is 20 years ago, hip-hop R&B. Right. So we're in 2024. These songs are 20 years, so prepare to feel old.
So where it placed in the chart?
No. Your favourite, basically. Oh, okay. Your favourite. Cool. So, but once it's in there, you can't move it. So,
we've got pressure. Think about
the pressure. Yeah. Where to put them? Where to put them? So,
you can play along as well. Those that are watching live.
It's 20 years ago, so it's hip hop and R&B of 2004.
Great. I love the 2000s.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Right. First one.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
I mean, it's a strong start.
Shoulder.
Yeah.
So we're not allowed to listen to all of them first.
No, man. No. Okay, right. It's blind ranking. So this is the point.
How big was that fall that year?
Oh, that's up there for me.
Ooh, hello.
Oh, that's up there.
Hello. What are you thinking? 1, 2?
I am.
Jamie's nervous already.
I am. We always go safe in the middle and then end up just spreading.
I'm actually going to put it at number 3.
3, yeah. Oh, okay.
So you're getting used to the game now.
Right. Cool.
Next one?
Yeah.
What's that? Well, you put that in number
3.
Jay-Z, Dirt Off Your Shoulder.
Oh. Ooh. See, I've got like,
you got memories.
Great memories of just... really.
Was this his first song, wasn't it?
It was the first big hit. I don't know if it was his first song.
I think it might have been his song. First song. I'm pretty sure it was.
It reminds me of Bluetooth transferring songs between your Sony Ericsson.
Sony Ericsson.
You had to like point the phones at each other.
Yes.
And then you could like set them going. You had to hold them there so you could transfer the music. Was high school days. What are you saying?
What are you thinking, guys?
It's not as big as Dirt Off Your Shoulder, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree.
Five?
For me, it's lower.
What, lower than five?
No, for me, it's lower than three, sorry.
Yeah. Well, should we go five? Six?
Sure. Yeah, five or six, okay. I would say.
Let's say five. Akon locked up.
Okay.
He's touring the UK, isn't he?
He is touring the UK. Yeah, he is. Right, next one. What a tune.
I'd probably put this at number one for me. But shall we go number two safe?
Two or four, I think it's safe.
You could put any Outkast song on, and it's one or two.
Is it the way you move, or I like the way you move?
I like the way you move.
I like the way you move.
Every time I hear that Dirt Off Your Shoulder, I always think of Jay-Z hearing it for the first time.
In that with Timbaland.
Yeah, I always think of that.
The way you move. The way you move is gone what? Number two?
Two. Is that Outkast? I like the way you move. Right, so we've got one, four, six, and seven left. So we've got a good spread.
I think you've got a decent spread there.
Yeah. Ting drinking is Jake. Very best shit for fun.
You ain't got one. This sounds 20 years old. Oh. This does sound like 2004, doesn't it?
It's like when this came out, everyone loved it.
I've heard it many times.
In terms of one-hit wonders, it's strong, isn't it? We should do it. Maybe we should do a one-hit wonders one day.
But I would put that six or seven.
I agree.
Should we go to the bottom? I feel like it kind of annoys me now.
I agree. I get that. 100%.
Like, why is it still?
What I will say though, when it came out, the beat was very different
to
anything else at the time. So it really stood out.
And
it's
now the
it rapping
sounds,
for me.
Yeah. Rapping.
You ready?
Yeah. I wasn't going to put this in. I just saw it. I thought, put it in there.
Can we put this at seven? People still
request this song, don't they? Yeah, somebody, I play at this house garage night, and the same group of people request it. So I found like this techie version of it. And they were fuming. They were like, no.
So that's gone in at number six. Is it Pitbull?
No, Daddy Yankee.
Daddy Yankee.
Daddy Yankee, right. We got two more.
Four and one. Right, don't you be choosing them now to throw us off. You should have them pre-prepared.
They are pre-prepared. Are you ready?
Right, okay.
Yo, G.
Definitely number one.
I could just play this all the way through.
Done all right here. I think
we've done all right, you know. Oh, it depends what number four is, but I think it's got
that album. I still listen to it sometimes.
It's great, isn't it?
All the time. You ready for the last one?
Yep.
I think you've done all right here.
I think so. Bring them out, bring
them out, bring them out, bring them out. See, I bring them out. The
yell when the bat rails in your mouth.
Yeah, I think it would. Yeah, I think you smashed it. Bring them out, hey. Bring them out. Do you reckon? Yeah.
Right,
what's your list?
So, number seven, Jake One Tipsy. Number six, Daddy Yankee Gasolina. Number five, Akon Locked Up. 40, I Bring Them Out. Three, Jay-Z, Dirt Off Your Shoulder. Two, Outkast, I Like The Way You Move. And one, Kanye West Through The Wire.
Happy with that, Blakey, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that like in a set list you play it like leading up to peak? Building up to peak, you start at Gasolina and then you go upwards. Yeah.
guys, we should start doing mini mixes of these in the order.
Live content. Live pressure.
Okay. Yeah.
Guys, as always, we like to give some value back on this podcast. So if you are interested in leveling up your skills or learning to DJ, you can take a course with us. Just go to www.wearecrossfader.co.uk and you can get 20% off any DJ course with the code with the code Off The Record. That's 20% off any of our courses, hip hop, house, techno, Flex 4, DDJ 400, all that stuff. Or you can check out the complete package, which is 24 courses, 50 hours of bonus content, and any course that we ever make, which is going to include Blakey's Open Format one soon. We're launching a Flex 4 Pro course. So yeah, complete package might be the one for you if you just want everything. The DJ education in the world
forevermore.
But you can use the code Off The Record to get 20% off any individual course with us. We've got some questions to get stuck into to the for the end of the pod.
Yes, so I need your input. Sell my Technics 1200 Mark IIs towards buying the PLX Cross 12.
Oh well, I thought I was going to answer that before we answered that before we saw the end.
You're like, don't do it.
Well, just as actually, I sold my Technics in pre-lockdown. And I'm gutted about that.
Right.
But to get the, if you get in the Cross 12s, I'd be like,
You kind of got best of both worlds with them, haven't you?
The Cross 12s are phenomenal.
It's the first product where I would say swap your 1210s.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, I wouldn't swap them for anything else. I'm going to keep mine. That's down here on the floor.
The Technics.
Yeah.
I'm actually doing the opposite. I'm getting my 1210 serviced next week.
Yeah.
Bring
it
back up to
scratch.
Back to life because they've been a little bit neglected.
Yeah.
Someone on Twitch said, hello, why doesn't Alan and Heath together with Traktor DJ make a 4-channel, 4 EQ controller and an excellent market niche in the market and lack of product? Thanks for the reply.
I like the idea of them all getting together and like calling themselves like a super boy band name and then going at Pioneer DJ offices and be like, we're here.
I just think it's one of those things. I don't think Traktor's put that much emphasis on its DJ segment for a long time.
I think it gives a shit. I think it sells pretty well. It's pretty durable. It's got a good community of DJs.
I mean, it just shows they made such a solid software. Yeah. They haven't really had to change it.
No.
I mean, it still looks like it's a potato, but they haven't updated the UI, have they?
I actually started on Traktor back in like 2005, 2006, and it doesn't look whole lot different today.
But it is great.
Yeah.
And it still has like solid. Its own USPs, like the unique selling points, like the remix decks. Is just so powerful, and it's something that's not really been done in other DJ software to that sort of level, I suppose.
Yeah, really cool.
Opinions on the new Alpha Theta brand. Check out last week's episode.
Oh, listen, go to last week because, we got in deep. We got into the trenches last week and people seem to like it. So go have a listen.
Right. ICIC just said, just got a new Pioneer DJM S7, switching from controller back to turntables and Serato. Any good courses you can recommend, guys? I am Pioneer and Serato Rusty. So from our product catalogue, our Serato courses are developed and designed so that it teaches you on turntables and things with moving platters as well, such like the Rain 1 or turntables in DVS mode. So it'll show you how to manipulate and control and beat match and do all that stuff with a turntable style setup as well. You'll also learn the intricacies of Serato, whether it's the beginner or intermediate course. You can take that journey where you feel you're at.
There's also a very spicy open format course coming in a month, so keep your eyes peeled.
So it could be a combination. Could be the complete package.
Yep.
This isn't a question, but just going back, I just want to shout out to Jason because he actually, we know each other.
Oh,
came from Lincoln, where I actually met Jamie. That was a tight DJ community, so going back to the DJ community thing, in the city, but welcoming to outsiders too, and loved it. For example, I was the outsider coming in as a DJ, and they welcomed me with open arms. They were amazing.
I've been unwelcome sometimes. Yeah. There has been times where I've walked in and, you know.
What cities?
Frosty. Oh, I don't want
to
say.
Well, he carries on to say, since moving to Manchester, the scene can be a bit clicky with venues and genres.
Very clicky.
But still a lot of friendly people out there in the city.
I will say Manchester's my favourite city to DJ in ever. But it's like anywhere. Leeds will be clicky when you first get here, but you know you've got to prove. There's an element of proving yourself. Like if you're a well-established DJ going into another city, you're not going to have an issue because it's a very small community. A very small community, and people know people.
Yeah.
But if you're just starting out, you're not just going to walk into a click and be like, "Hi guys, sort me some sets out."
Yeah. Someone here said Omnis Duo versus RX3 best choice. And to start with, my initial reaction was RX3, but then I started to think about
totally
it.
Different.
I was like,
it's totally different.
It is a tricky one, is that? I think if you want to just be playing on CDJs in the long run, then get an RX3 because it feels most familiar to a standard CDJ setup. But the Omnis Duo still feels great to play on. Yeah. Really enjoyed it. It's kind of its own unique product. So it's something that if you are going to do a lot of events, you're going to be taking it out with you a lot and taking it to events, then the Omnis Duo is much more portable and it works for that environment really well.
I've used the Omnis Duo a lot. It's very fun. Yeah. It's a very, very fun controller to use.
Yeah. Be careful. YouTube might jump down your throat. There's a lot of YouTube that don't like it.
People have never touched it before. Hey? Yeah.
Again, listen to last week's episode.
Listen to last week's episode where we get angry. Guys, it's been amazing. We will be back same time next week, potentially on chairs, probably not. But we will be back next week. Do us a favour. Please like and subscribe to this podcast. We mentioned last week we've got some really big guests coming on, but in order to do that, we need to get our numbers up, and only you can help out with that. And you're doing a great job, because from last week, our numbers have jumped big. So we appreciate it. So if you can just stop and click like or give us a 5-star review, whatever you do, still don't know how podcasts work, but whatever you do, do it. We'll see you again next week.
See you later. Out.